Hello and welcome to the Beer Nuts Productions podcast. My special guest on today... Oh, I should introduce myself. My name is Goff and my special guest on today's episode... I was so excited, I forgot to introduce myself because it is Beer Nuts Productions' right-hand man. He's the man that... he's got all the gear. He makes Beer Nuts Productions what it is, let's be honest. He's been in the TV and film and entertainment business all of his life. It's Simon Rose.
Hi, Goff. How are you? Nice roly-poly intro. I like it.
It's all professional here at Beer Nuts Productions. Don't worry about that. We're a well-oiled machine. Not at all. Anyway, let me start by asking you how you got into the film and TV sort of game. You know, where did the interest come from for you?
Probably at school. Always when I'd go into the AV section at school, I was always just immediately attracted to cameras, and then video was starting to come out. This is in the probably late 70s. And from there, I went to uni and got a job in advertising. And I stayed for a while in advertising.
As in making their commercials, not you weren't the dude selling commercial space. You would do it the making the ads for TV, yeah?
Yeah. And then from there, I got more interested in production of how they were actually put together. And from there, I left the advertising world and got in with a partner, and we started Brisbane Video Production in Brisbane. And from there, it just took off. Yeah.
Well, and why always behind the camera? Why not in front of the camera?
I have no talent.
That's probably not the right thing to say to the man that hires you to make his films.
Probably. But no, in front of the camera is not my, it's not my scene. It's not my gig.
And now you do, like, obviously you work for Beer Nuts Productions and you make all of our stuff, but you also do freelance stuff. You I've had this conversation with you before. You prefer doing freelance other than a more structured sort of TV kind of environment?
I think so, yeah, because it's an area where you can just control what you're doing. You don't have to depend so much on other people other than yourself, and that's the main thing, is to get work and to keep it good. And that's what I do, whereas working for someone, you can go in and out of flat spots and hot spots and ups and downs, and but doing it for yourself keeps me charged.
Keeps you charged.
Yeah.
Well, look out. So now, one big thing, obviously, you've been doing this for a very long time, advancements in technology. So, you know, you would have been old school with a big, heavy camera on the shoulder and old tracks and massive, big things. And now it's all, you know, there's been such advancements in technology. Can you sort of take us through how that's helped you?
Ah, look. The changes have been incredible, particularly in the last 15 years. The advent of digital has just changed everything.
How? Tell us how.
Oh, well, let's start with my back. It's shocking. And it's shocking because I was lugging around very, very heavy equipment through television studios and rigging things and getting things done. It was not fun because the cameras weighed a ton. They were big valve jobs. The recording equipment was huge. They cost an absolute fortune back in those days. A 1-inch or a 2-inch video tape recorder, could be anything up to $120,000. These days, $120,000 would set you up in a terrific digital studio and have a nice car as well. So the main things is expense has gone down. Acquiring the equipment is easier. It's easier to lug around.
What about the quality of the work?
Quality of the work. Well, always skeptical about that, particularly through a transitional period. If you look at film cameras, taking stills, okay, there was a long 8-10 year period where people were still umming and ahhing on which was the best. Digital came out, it wasn't as good as film, and now today digital has just left it behind, and now the film side of still photography is gone. You know, it's only a hobby.
And what about the quality in regards to editing stuff? Because you also do all the editing for Beer Nuts stuff. What about when it comes to editing the work itself, the advancements of technology with editing equipment?
probably the biggest revelation for me is that I can work from home. The gear is pretty inexpensive compared to what it used to be. The gear is very, very good. And of course, I'm saying again, digital has changed everything and made things smaller. An edit suite used to cost maybe $65,000-$70,000. Now, you know, you can rely on a $3,000 or $4,000 computer and do exactly the same thing, only more. Yeah, you can do your special effects yourself. You don't have to book anybody to go and, you know, do your effects. All you have to do is learn the apps and make it happen.
So when are you going to learn the apps and make it happen?
I thought I had.
I'm just teasing.
No, it's amazing how much I'm on YouTube checking out apps and how to use them properly. Yeah, you learn so many things on YouTube on how to use all the new apps because the young guys are just into it. And none of the equipment that you buy comes with how to use documents anymore. You just get on YouTube and find out how to do it and find out all the shortcuts. That's how I do it.
And you love that as well because I sit in there when we edit a film together. I sit in there with you and we have a great old time putting it all together and putting the pieces together. Do you love watching a project sort of come together like that?
I do. I do. One of the things with me and us is that we can have a bit of fun because it is basically comedy what we're doing.
What do you mean basically? It is comedy what we're doing.
Well, I thought I should draw a line between what you really do, Goff. We could write a book on that.
No, go on, sorry.
So, yeah, where were we?
About editing Beer Nut stuff and you know.
It's fun. It used to be very, very serious. You'd walk into a dark edit suite with glowing lights and leather seats. And you'd constantly be thinking about what this is costing per hour and doing things and being very, very serious. Now the lid's been taken off and, you know, you can converse with me as we're talking now on how you want your edit done.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's easier. The pressure's off.
Yeah. Well, until I get in the room and I say, Simon.
Yes.
It's all wrong.
How high, Goff? How high?
So generally speaking then, I mean, we've touched on it. What is it like working for Beer Nuts Productions?
Oh, seriously, it's fun. Yeah, Goff and Skeet, you're in the third person. You're an interesting guy to work with. I've never worked with anybody like you before.
In what way? Explain.
Well, first of all, you're blind.
Well, there is that. Yeah, fair call.
Secondly, you're an auteur. For those academics who used to... look at avant-garde movies and French New Wave movies. Auteur was a way of explaining a director who was taking responsibility for the authorship of everything in the film. That's what you do. You're an auteur. Yeah, next to Truffaut. you take on everything. You take on production from writing to... sorting out the people you want to use for the production, to do the production, to choosing your actors, casting, finding the money, putting it together. So you're a producer, a director, the whole thing.
I cater the films?
You cater the films? Yes, well, that's a moot point at this stage. You owe me a pizza. But anyway.
It's one out the back.
Oh, yeah.
But so let's go with the blind, because it is interesting. Obviously, I'm assuming I'm the first blind person you've ever worked with. I am curious to know, when I first got into contact with you and I said, oh, by the way, Simon, can't see very well, but we're going to make this film. Your reaction on the other end of the phone, you must have been thinking to yourself, how the fuck is this going to work? What's going on here? What was your initial thoughts?
Oh, it sent me into a spin. It's, you know, how can we do this? First of all, my first thought was integrity. A blind guy, you can fool, okay? Because he's not seeing what you're shooting. He is hearing what you're recording, but he's not seeing it, okay? I cannot get into that situation where I'm trying to fool him. So I've got to stay honest. And that's from where I take my cues from dealing with you. because I know you rely on me for a lot of visual cues.
Yes.
And if I don't remain as honest as possible, I don't think it'd work.
Yes, well, yeah, I completely agree. Absolutely,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're the eyesight and I'm the everything else.
Exactly. Well, sort of. Yeah, you're even more than the eyesight.
And so what have you learned? I mean, you're working with a blind guy making movies. Obviously, it's a very different experience for you. What have you learned through that process?
It's more what I've learned about you. The process remains the same, but the attention to detail remains a lot higher. Because for me, I've got to check everything twice because you run on a pretty hectic schedule. There's not much mucking around when it comes to the production. So I've learnt to try and focus. And I've learnt that working with a person with a blind person is very, very, very doable. Whereas at the beginning, I thought, I've got my qualms. I don't know how this is going to work.
Yeah.
But now I know that it's totally doable. So if you know any disabled people who want to make movies, use them because they're more creative. Well, I shouldn't say more creative, but they're more fun. Yeah.
Fair enough. And just going back to what you were saying earlier about working freelance and enjoying that sort of stuff, can you think of any odd requests? I mean, you've told me a few things over the years of, you know, someone's called up and said, Simon, could you film this for us, please? Like, what are one or two of the strange requests that you've had? And obviously they're paying you, so you're going to say yes, or maybe you didn't. But what are one or two of the odd things that people have asked you to film over the years?
The one that comes to mind quickly is doggy yoga. I did this about 8 months ago, and it was for someone who was very good at taking yoga classes, but they wanted to bring their dogs along, and their dogs were being part of the scene of the yoga. It was part of the strategic zen of what was going on, and the dogs were a big part of it.
Okay.
And that was probably one of the craziest things I've done. Weddings. I've had weddings where the bride has turned up drunk and passed out and vomited all over me. crazy. They're the two that come to mind at the moment. But there are things that that are quite weird that people want to film.
And obviously you got to be professional. I mean, you can't. Do you say to people, you've lost your mind? What on earth are you? How do you react when someone says, can you film doggy yoga?
I'm always thinking, just keep a straight face. Keep a straight face. Yes.
Just do what the client says and shut up.
Yep. I can do this. Yep.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
That's the way it rolls.
So going back to, because obviously we've been working together since 2013. And what's been the differences between, like, if you take a Beer Nuts film shoot to another film shoot that you've worked on, wherein lies the differences for you?
Good question. With Beer Nuts production shoots, there's not as many people to deal with because if I need to go to the man, I go straight to you.
That's exactly right. Don't you forget it.
Yep. And with the other gigs, you know, you have to go to five or six different people.
But what are some of the key differences that you've seen? Because obviously I'm aware, I know that for many reasons, my disability being one, but there are other reasons too. My film shoots run very, very differently to an average film shoot. I do know that, I'm aware of that. What are some of the differences that you've seen over the years?
There's more precision to working with you because time is a factor, I guess. But everything is totally organised. So you don't walk in and say, what are we doing today, Goff? I've been through meetings prior with you, exactly know exactly what's going on. I know exactly who's in it. I know I've been through the script. I know you don't believe me that I read the script, but I do read the script. Everything works to a clock, and it's always very, very, very well done working with you, and I appreciate that. Whereas working with other people, that doesn't mean that I don't enjoy working with them as well, but it's different working with you because you're blind.
Yeah.
And I love that about it. I really do.
Well, thank you for those kind words, Simon. I'll feed you now. I'll give you some pizza, after we're finished. Yes. Good. Now, while we're on about Beer Nuts Productions, obviously we've done 21 films. You've done 19 of them. You know, you weren't any...
19, is it?
Yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, we've done 19 films together. Do you have a favourite for those who are listening who were... I mean, we're talking all about Beer Nuts Productions.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
Do you have a particular one that stands out for you?
Yeah, the first one. The first one for a lot of reasons. First of all, I got to meet you because I hadn't met... I'd spoken with you on the phone.
Yeah.
And gone over everything. But, working with you, finding out... how you relate to people and to the actors. But it was the advertising one. What was that called?
The advertising meeting.
The advertising meeting. I thought it was going to be a huge amount, a vast amount of camera work. It turned out to be one locked-off shot, which was fabulous, but it was harder than it looked because everybody had to be in the screen and we had to see and hear everybody. And that. So as soon as everything was set up, you could just turn the camera on and let it go.
Yeah.
And I could really judge... you know, and see the humour. And I never let go of that when I'm watching it, because if I do think something's funny, I find it hard to hold back. And often we'll have to do a second take because I've made a snorting noise in the background.
You often get told off.
Yeah, often. But I try not to do it. But I think being and having that comedic thing around you should be in everybody that we're working with. And with you, that happens. Yeah, everybody sort of goes into comedy mode.
Oh, well, thank you very much. And I must say, in all sincerity, you do a wonderful job with my projects. That's why I keep getting you back. I mean, you really do a fabulous job. And I really hope people go to the Beer Nuts Productions website and check out the films, and then they can see the sort of work Simon does. And is there any place where people can find out more about Simon Rose? You got a website, Facebook, or anything of that nature that people can go and learn a bit more about you?
Yeah, I've got Simon Rose. I do weddings. I do corporate business things. They can go to Simon Rose on the web and find out, you know, what I'm doing and how to get in touch with me. But, yeah, I'm not a big advertiser. I don't. I tend to network around with people more.
Yeah. Do you find that? Well, that's an interesting point. Do you find that works better for you?
For me, it works better.
Yeah?
I find...
Why do you think that is?
Oh, look, the expense of finding a gig is huge these days because the internet prices are pretty high. If you need to get to the top of the pile... so that people don't have to look for you too hard. It's very expensive. And I just find people will work with me and they'll ring me up and say, hey, that was an interesting gig we did the other day. I'm doing another one. We need someone to do this. Are you in? And I'll go, yeah, for sure. Let's do it. That's an easy way of explaining it. But expense is the name of the game. To get a gig is very expensive, particularly, you know, during coronavirus where you're not getting a lot of work in. You know, all your money can just be thrown into a big, you know, it's like having a sailboat. All your money just goes into it and it sinks.
It's a big hole in the ground.
Exactly.
And so would you, for young people who are finishing high school and university who want to get into what you do, you know, camera work and editing and production and that kind of stuff, what would be a bit of advice that you could give them?
Don't think that it's impossible, because a lot of people told me that you'll never get a job. You know, it's all inside, you know, in the television studio, it's all inside work. You know, the production manager's daughter or something. But that's really not the way it works. If you've got some talent, enthusiasm, and mainly passion, and you can back that up with some intellect and creativity, you'll go anywhere you want to go. And that's still the same. But don't be afraid to get out and knock on doors. Knocking on doors is everything.
So it's old school technique, but it still works, yeah?
Of course it does. Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep.
I thought you were going to continue, but that's okay.
No, I was going to give a bit of a rave on social media, but I won't.
You're not a fan of social media, are you, Simon?
I wouldn't say I'm not a fan, but it's just something that doesn't come to me naturally.
That's because you're an old fart, Simon, that's why.
Thanks. Yeah, that's probably correct.
Well, as you can see, I clearly get along very well with this man. That's why we've been working together for so long. His self-esteem's in the toilet, but, you know, that's where I like it.
That's where it's kept. With you.
Works well for me that way.
Yeah. No, I'm not as unconfident as I might sound.
He's very sneaky. I tell you another humorous bit that you folks might find funny, and then we'll wrap all this up. But Simon does call me Dr. No, and he calls me that because he loves giving suggestions to Simon. He really enjoys giving suggestions, and my response is usually, Simon,
no, no. And it's usually a sarcastic, no. Why would you, no, no. No.
Why would you even think that's a good idea?
Yeah, precisely.
But occasionally, I say yes.
Yes, twice.
And
twice you've said it in how many years?
Just over 7.
Right.
And Simon nearly collapses with just excitement.
I know. And that was asking him if he wanted a bite of my pizza.
It's all about pizza. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that does bring us to the end of the Beer Nuts Productions podcast episode for today. Thank you again very much, Simon. I really do appreciate you coming down and being a part of the episode.
Very good, Gough. Thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to our next shoot coming up next month.
Yes, absolutely, 100%. So make sure you like and subscribe to the podcast. Leave a friendly comment in the comment section of whatever podcast app you may be listening to this in. And, of course, beernutsproductions.com for all your entertainment needs. That's all you need to know.
Beernuts.
Thank you, Simon. And you can leave now. And so, yeah, well, that just about does it. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you all or talk to you all next week.
Good on you, Gough. Take it easy.
Thank you, Simon.